excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Ole Miss edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the way home from another surprising victory for 2017. I had called for a 1-2 non-conference record, and the Bears are 3-0, leaving the non-conference schedule, having now beat Ole Miss 27-16 in a surprising upset, one that really gives me a lot of confidence that this team has a lot more going for it than I ever anticipated, even after the first two wins. Quick recap of the game. Game started with Ole Miss having a long pass play to get him down the field into field goal range, but the Bear defense stiffened at that point, and Ole Miss had to kick a field goal. The Bears then countered with their own long play that got them a touchdown. They were up 7-3 early. Teams traded a few punts at that point before Ole Miss opened up another big play that resulted in a touchdown, and another big play that resulted in a touchdown, but with a missed extra point, putting the Ole Miss team up 16-7. And that was a score going into halftime. The Bears threatened to score late in the second quarter a couple of times, but couldn't quite pull it off. Missed field goal, ran out of time at the end of the half. There was an interception there as a Hail Mary at the end, one of those things, statistical blips that makes things look worse for the team than it really was. But there was a general feeling, I think, that the defense was finally starting to get its legs underneath itself, and I'll get into why I think that was at that point. But the offense, just nothing was clicking, and the thought was maybe there was a shot for the Bears to come back in the second half, but the offense would have to get things in gear. Bears got the ball to start the second half, drove right down the field, 14-16, and it was all immediately a new game. We knew the Bears had a shot at this. At that point, actually, the game returned to somewhat of a stalemate. Number of punts, number of back and forths. Bears missed a number of field goals, including a field goal that went up on the board, but a penalty gave the Bears a fresh set of downs, and then they threw an interception, so the field goal was lost. Total 9 points lost to missed field goals or field goals taken off the board. They did eventually score a field goal. I forget, it was late in the third quarter, early in the fourth, to put them up 17-16. And then another field goal to extend to a 4-point lead midway through the fourth quarter. All of a sudden, Ole Miss started to get a little bit desperate. You could tell. In fact, I told my son, who was with me at the game, I said, fourth pass play of this possession is going to be an interception. Well, I gave him a little too much credit. Third play total of the possession, Ole Miss throws an interception, returned for a touchdown. Extends the score to 27-16. The Bears are able to put it away at that point after a little prevent defense allows Ole Miss down the field, but they can't punch it in. And so that remains the final score, 27-16. So let's talk what it is about this team that has them winning games, that has them coming back in the second half so consistently. First, Coach Wilcox deserves a lot of credit for great coaching. He is coaching this team up really well. He's coming in with a reasonably good game plan, but more important, he's making adjustments mid-game that are really working. I think he has the players in the right frame of mind with the right ideas, but he's open enough to whatever the other team might throw at him that he's coming up with adjustments mid-game. Particularly today, we saw this on both sides of the ball. The offense was running the ball too much, running the ball in the middle too much in the first half. We saw them start to open things up late in the first half and really start to give some flexibility to the game plan in the second half. The offense, although not great, it came alive. You could just sense that they were fixing the problems from early in the game. Even more so on the defensive side of the ball. They started with a single safety setup that was just killing them. The first two long plays were single safety setups. They moved to a two safety configuration. There was one breakdown play where the safety bit up on what he thought was a run play, and there was a cross that really hurt the corners. And ended on the third big pass play of the game. But then that was it. The two safety setup that they were running, where they were having frequently having a safety and with a linebacker underneath on the inside receiver. But they were kind of handing things off, where sometimes the linebacker would blitz, sometimes he would stay with the receiver. Really kept Ole Miss's quarterback on his heels, having difficulty reading the defense. Very good schematic work and adjustments in this game. It was very impressive work. Now, two games in a row, the Bears have not given up a point in the second half. That speaks to the type of adjustments this team is making. And the defense is just better coached all the way around. Making plays on balls in the air from the corners. Just so many right things happening that hadn't been happening before. I think I underestimated the talent that was on this team. I think in part that says a little bit about what the previous coaching staff was doing to abuse and misuse the talent that was on this team. But there is a fair amount of talent here. And it's not young. Some of it's not young. Some of these guys are juniors and seniors who just now are finally coming into their own, being coached up correctly. Particularly on the defensive side of the ball. But even on the offensive side of the ball, we're seeing some of that. I've always have a fear when you have a lineman in particular who doesn't get to play till he's a junior or a senior, and he's behind a pretty mediocre guy. It's like, well, if you have a real strong guy, if you have one of these great linemen and the backup doesn't get to play while he's a senior, well, that just happens sometimes. But when you have a mediocre guy playing and the younger guy can't surpass him, it's a really worrisome thing. It says that he's not that good at all. And we have a couple players on the team like that this year who are playing much, much better. So I just have a lot of confidence that this team is going to continue to improve. We may have a little bit of a depth problem that I'll get to in just a little bit. But overall, lots to hope for in this team. And I'll go through a breakdown of how I see the rest of the season going here for the end of the podcast. Let's go through a position group by position group analysis. Start with the quarterback. Bowers is young, but has a lot of potential. There were a few passes where he zipped it in there really hard, where he needed to show some touch. He still is struggling a little bit with throwing the right type of pass some of the times. Not all the times. A lot of times he does pick the right one. But I think the biggest area where his youth is showing is not in reading the defense. I think he does a pretty good job of that, but in picking the right pass. And particularly when he sees the right guy, he'll zip it in there really hard. And sometimes that's not the right maneuver. He's going to have to learn to take a little bit off of it sometimes, anticipate just a little bit better so he's not feeling the need to zip it in there and give the receivers an easier ball to catch. Otherwise, though, I'm looking at a very mature guy for a guy who's playing his first three games here. He's throwing the ball away when he's supposed to. He's escaping pressure extremely well. Sacked just once today, even though there was a number of times he was under pressure. Generally made the right calls, when to run, when to throw it away, when to pass it. I'm really impressed with his maturity in those areas. His accuracy is reasonable, but not exceptional. So I think that's something that can improve over time for sure. As quarterbacks get more comfortable, those things can improve. And so there may be room for improvement there. But it's not his strongest suit, but it's also not holding him back. If he can get to that point where he can find the touch, he can find the right times to pick the right type of throws, just a little bit more anticipation of how things are breaking down in the formations in front of him, he has the potential to be an excellent quarterback, and very excited to have him under center, as they say, even though nobody goes under center anymore for the most part. Linemen. Reasonable game today in pass defense. As I said, Bowers did get a fair amount of pressure he had to escape from, but in the big scheme of things, not a bad pass protection performance from the offensive line. They did better than last week, I'd say, and considering it was against a pretty sizable defensive line from Ole Miss, a lot of reason for optimism. It'll be very interesting to see next week against USC. My biggest fear, to take a little bit of an aside here, is that at the end of the season, we're going to find out that none of the teams we played up front here were very good. That North Carolina is a stinker of a team. That Ole Miss is a closer to the bottom than the middle SEC team. Weber State, I think actually we're going to find out. They're one of the best FCS teams out there, and that's why they gave us so much trouble. And that would make a lot of sense. But then that still would leave these other two as potentially pretty weak teams in their FBS conferences. And that's, while it's good to have three wins here, it will slowly ratchet down our expectations as the season goes on and we're playing better teams. But nevertheless, offensive line, pretty good pass protection scheme today. Run blocking was hit and miss. Sometimes they did a reasonably good job, other times not so good. And as the game wore on, their stretch play ability got weaker and weaker and weaker. Early in the game, they were doing a pretty good job. I thought their athleticism, getting to the outside, getting the blocks on the edges, was pretty good. And that seemed to be where the running opportunity was. But the longer the game went on, the more that wasn't working. Few schematic things that Ole Miss was doing to make that a little bit harder, but for the most part, I felt like the offensive line got a little bit tired and was not able to really get their feet out in the right places and do the blocking that they should have been doing. But actually, as the game wore on, their pretty sub-mediocre inside blocking, which was not working, they started to power through a little bit more. They started to be a little less intimidated, in my opinion, of blocking hard up in the middle. And although it still wasn't a dominating performance, all of a sudden these 1 and 2 yard inside runs were turning into 3 and 4 and 5 yard inside runs. So they actually got better on the inside. But overall, run blocking was okay and maybe even good in some rare moments, but really mediocre as a whole, with a number of areas of weakness that just aren't going to be acceptable if this team really wants to challenge to be more than a mediocre Pac-12 team. And by the way, should we be disappointed with a mediocre Pac-12 team? We were expecting to be one of the worst. Maybe we shouldn't complain too much. Moving on. Running backs. Laird had, you know, when he gets out in the open field, he's exciting, he's really good, but his running between the tackles was not as good as it had been. Early on, I felt like his patience was just about right, but as the game wore on, I think he had a little bit more trouble finding his holes. And then Nwiri came in and showed why he's the power man on the inside. I hope they go and watch film, and I hope Laird's watching that film, because Nwiri did a great job inside. To me, he feels like he's getting slower, though. The couple of times he busted it open, he couldn't make something with it. He couldn't do that little bit extra that if Laird had gotten to that place to where now he could accelerate in the open field, there's one that's like, that would have been a touchdown for sure. And instead, Nwiri's down at the 20 because he just didn't seem to have the speed to accelerate out of it. I mean, he's a power guy. You shouldn't expect too much from him in that regard. But he did good running between the tackles, particularly in the second half. And Nwiri deserves credit for that. Tight ends and fullbacks was used somewhat interchangeably in this new scheme. We're seeing McMorris used in both ways. We're seeing some tight ends brought into the backfield in other plays. So I'm going to make them one group. okay performance. Their blocking wasn't the best. McMorris had some good blocking. He had some weak blocking. I did feel good about the tight ends running their routes. I felt like they did a good job of that. Even though they didn't get targeted that often, they were doing a good job of going the right way for what it appeared they were trying to accomplish. And that what that does is it takes defenders out of certain areas and thereby allows other receivers to get open. Noah was the primary beneficiary of that, of the tight ends were doing a good job of carrying their routes so that defenders were not able to cover Noah as effectively. Which leaves us with wide receivers. Getting more and more impressed with this group, and that's missing Robertson today. He was missing. I'm not sure why. He was listed as a starter, but I don't think played at all. Wharton, Noah, Singleton's coming along. A lot of reasons to feel very good about this group. Their hands are pretty good. Wharton had one miss that you're like, ooh, we should have got that. There was another one that got batted out of Noah's hands, but it was pretty good defense by Ole Miss. But I feel like they're running good routes. I'd love to see a bit more speed. I'd love to see Robertson come back to allow to stretch the field that way. But the hand fighting they're doing, their ability to get a little bit open, a lot of really good things happening with this wide receiver group. So really, a lot of good things there. So it just feels like there's hope and potential in this group. They need to execute a little bit better. They need to be a little bit more consistent. But as a whole, it feels like there's a lot of good things to work on there, or work with, so that the team is better in the future. On to the defense. Defensive line, it was a little bit hard to judge them because their role seemed to be to kind of suck up offensive linemen and let the linebackers cause havoc, which is not a bad role, but there weren't that many times I looked at them and felt like they were really pushing dominantly through. A more dominant defensive line group would have caused more havoc than they did. Not that they were bad. I think they were, mediocre to okay, but outside of a few plays, they weren't really manhandling anybody and forcing the issue. They were doing their job was, though, was to suck up the offensive linemen, and then the linebackers were coming in and causing the trouble. Linebackers were absolutely key. Good, obviously, huge interception and return for a touchdown that sealed the win. Downs, very impressive. Just love the way he plays. Doing a great job. Their ability to sometimes rush, sometimes fall back into coverage, I feel that, and they do a good job of disguising it. Ole Miss, the quarterback, was confused all day with what they were going to do. It was very good work on their part of being deceptive pre-snap and then hiding and concealing what they were going to do. Safety and cornerbacks, obviously they started rough. They had some early mistakes that were definitely bad mistakes. The second touchdown was just a comedy of errors, of bad play, of just everybody breaking on their receivers the wrong way, and two of them got crossed up as well. But even if they hadn't got crossed up, it still would have been a touchdown. Just nasty, nasty play. But after that happened, they got a lot better. This is a young unit, but I think Tartabull and others have a lot of talent and a lot of potential, and we're going to see good things from them as they continue to develop. They're learning how to turn and look for the ball and bat the ball away. They're not getting burned as often as after their early mistakes. They really listened to their coaching and made the corrections. I think that they're young. There's going to be more mistakes. This is not the end of it. It's not like, okay, we finally just solved things. No, there's going to be more problems down the road as they're learning. But this is a very coachable unit, a talented enough unit, and actually good tackling. good tackling from that group. There's not much of them extending plays through poor tackling, or the Ole Miss being able to extend plays through poor tackling of the secondary, which you see a lot. You see a lot where you have a team that can either tackle well or cover well. And these guys, I think, have some potential to be both down the road. Obviously, as I said, there's having some growing pains in coverage, but they'll get there. Special teams, Matt Anderson, what has happened to you? You are letting us down. You need to spend a little extra time kicking the ball, getting it through the uprights. You're pushing it consistently. It's always to the same side, but then you'll hook it. It'll still be in, but it's clear that you're overcorrecting a little bit. So Anderson's been real trouble. The punter, on the other hand, whose name is escaping me at the moment, anyway, he's looking great. He's doing a great job of kicking up the hang time. Both punters on both teams were doing well today. Really a lot of fair catches because the ball was going really high and didn't have any opportunity. But the punter, a really good job. So let's talk overall. As I said, I have a lot of hope for this team, but it is still young. There will still be mistakes. There will still be adjustments. And as I said, I think as the season wears on, we're going to learn that the competition early was not as good as the early stats would have suggested. I think that's going to show this week against USC. Although USC struggled a lot today with a Texas team that has not improved that much from the team Cal beat the last two consecutive years. So I don't think it's an impossibility for the Bears to beat USC. I'm going to have to do a little more analysis, but I think it's probably still in the loss column. But this Cal team is improving every week, and I would not be shocked to see Cal pull the upset, even though I think I'm likely to predict a loss for the game. Then Washington, have a hard time imagining the Bears go up to Seattle and win that one, so that's a loss. Oregon, hard to tell at this point, but the Bears do have to travel to Eugene. It's a tough place to play. Probably still put that in the loss column. Washington State is looking better and better. They're dominating. They did a good job against Boise State last week, dominated today. That's a team as well. I think the Bears, I probably overestimated the chances of the Bears because I thought WSU wasn't as good as they turned out to be, or turning out to be. So that's another one that may end up in the loss column, although I think there's hope for that game. Everybody else, though, it feels like the Bears have a reasonable shot at now. I don't look at Stanford, who just lost to San Diego State. That team is slowly eroding back to mediocrity. The Bears can win that game, particularly with it being that late in the season, with the team continuing to improve. I'm no longer putting that as a likely loss. We'll see when we get there how things have developed. But sure feels like that one is a toss-up game at this point. UCLA lost a stinker today. That game, I think, could easily be a win for the Bears. Probably still put it in the toss-up category at this juncture, but definitely not a likely loss like I previously predicted. And then you get the rest. Arizona, Oregon State, probably likely in the win column. Colorado, I called that as the upset game for the season. Probably that should still be called a toss-up game, but I think the Bears have a reasonable shot of going into Boulder and winning that one. And the Bears only need to come up with three wins. You know, I just listed two toss-ups, two likely wins, three toss-ups and two likely wins. And then a WSU game and an Oregon game, which are likely losses, but the Bears have a shot at. So there's a lot of wins potentially in this season, and the Bears, if they continue to improve the way they have, this could be a 7 or, God forbid, an 8-win season. Very impressive turnaround thus far. But I do think the next few weeks are going to be a bit of a return back to earth just because of who we're playing. We have USC, we have Washington, we have Oregon, we have Washington State, all right now, and those look to be, frankly, some of the best teams in the conference. But way to go, Coach Wilcox, on a wonderful turnaround. Loving the fact that this team is playing with heart. They're going to have a lot more confidence now. They're going to be more excited to learn the lessons, more optimistic about, you know, that what the game plan is likely to work out. And that can be nothing but good. Hopefully a couple of losses don't completely kill the confidence of the team. Sometimes that happens in an environment like this. But I just don't feel that way with the kind of even-keeled demeanor that Coach Wilcox has brought to this team and the coaching staff. And I think there will still be a lot of, okay, pick ourselves back up, learn from our mistakes, and keep going. If nothing else, the in-game strategy has shown that. They've done a great job of, you know, some pretty, you know, nail-biting, nervous moments early in these games of, oh, no, this isn't working out too well. But the team has confidence that they can come back and win. And you can see them wanting to learn, wanting to improve, wanting to adjust the game plan, and have now three games in a row been in, had a hole they've had to dig themselves out of, and have done it, and have done it successfully, and really were walking away as the game ended. You know, it wasn't like it was going to be tied. It wasn't like if you gave the opposition another quarter, the thought would be the Bears would probably lose. No, if you added a quarter, the Bears probably would have won more dominating. So that speaks some to conditioning as well. I think this team probably is better conditioned than we realize, because that the team that does well in the fourth quarter is often the better conditioned team, in addition to game planning. So that's a lot of dump there to lay out on everyone. I think that, as you can tell, I have a lot of hopes, but there's reason to temper. Let's not get too excited, particularly with the fears about you know, how weak North Carolina and Ole Miss may turn out to be. That we may look back and say, oh, well, yeah, that's why they started 3-0 and then ended up losing 6 in a row after that, you know, just because they turned out to be some of the worst teams on the schedule. But on the other hand, feels like there's a lot of parity coming into the Pac-12. You know, USC does not look completely unbeatable. They look vulnerable in certain ways. And you know, Washington is not exactly an unbeatable team. So there's reason to have hope in a lot of different areas. And you won't see me predicting, oh, we're going to get creamed on pretty much any game for the rest of the season, I don't think, unless, you know, in the next game or two it turns out it really shows how weak our early opponents were. One final point before I wrap up. Won't be a lot of on-the-road home podcasts this year. Unfortunately, the schedule really works poorly with my commitments. Won't be able to go to the USC game. Won't be able to go to one of the home games in October. Won't be able to go to one of the home games in November. Don't have tickets for the big game due to some conflict issues. So well, there may only be two or three of these for the entire season, unfortunately. But, of course, I will be continuing to blog on a weekly basis, so look for those. But anytime I do go to a game, I'll have a on-the-road home podcast. But that's why you may not see as many of these as you would in a normal season. Sorry for that. Just the way the cookie crumbles. Hopefully next season the schedule will be much more conducive to you know, working with my obligations and commitments. Let's go ahead and wrap it up with that. Thank you for listening, and go Bears. On the road again.